where James Clapper grew up through the bureaucracy to be a big guy. He rose up through the ranks of geospatial intelligence. They were having conventions prior to the lockdowns in 2020. Every year they would have a convention, 4,000 to 5,000 spooks would show up to talk about geospatial intelligence. It was a mapping of political and religious beliefs justified by 9/11, you know, because we're going to be attacked by religious fanatics, Islamicists. That was the story that came out of it. So we need to be able to map people's political and religious identities, and they use geospatial intelligence. The internet was all, the internet creation and social media creation was all tied into all of this. But here's where this looks, what this looks like today. This is a couple of quotes from General Mark Milley, as well as Alex Karp of Palantir. Palantir is a, one of these geospatial intelligence companies. That's what they do. And so this was at a conference that was about national security. The name of the conference was the Ash Carter Exchange on Innovation and National Security in Washington, D.C. And in it, you have Mark Milley. the headline here from Information Liberation. He gives a bizarre defense of what is happening in Israel. He says, we also have slaughtered innocent people in massive numbers. And let me just say this. Whenever you're talking about something, the morality of it, the ethics of it, it doesn't make it right because the people that you like or the people that are with you did it. It also doesn't make it wrong because you don't like the people who did it or whatever. And it doesn't excuse you if you're engaged in a crime. And we always see this, especially from the Democrats or Republicans. Well, you did that too, right? You did it. You did it. And a lot of times they're saying that because the Democrats did it. And they're coming after Republicans for doing the same thing. But they never, nobody ever came after the Democrats for doing it. None of that matters, really, does it? I mean, you broke the law, you broke the law. It doesn't matter if your neighbor also shot somebody else in the neighborhood. You both committed murder. It doesn't excuse you committing murder because your neighbor did it. And this is the logic that is there. This is the situational ethics that they put out there. Now, there's a bright red line of right and wrong that doesn't depend on whether or not your friends or enemies did it. It's the whether it's right or wrong is independent of that. Always is. So here is Milley making his excuse about and talking about U.S. war atrocities.
Before we all get self-righteous about what Israel's doing, and I feel horrible.
Judge not. Judge not.
In Gaza, but we shouldn't forget that we, the United States, killed a lot of innocent people in Mosul and Raqqa. That we, the United States, killed 12,000 innocent French civilians. And here we are on the 80th anniversary of Normandy, on the prep fires for Normandy. We destroyed 69 Japanese cities, not including Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We slaughtered people in massive numbers, innocent people who had nothing to do with their government, men, women, and children. War is a terrible thing. But if it's going to have meaning, if it's going to have any sense of morality, it has to be a political purpose, and it must be achieved rapidly with the least cost, and that you do by speed.
And one of the things I find personally very frustrating, the peace activists are actually the pro-war activists, and we're the peace activists. So you don't want war, you better be strong. You right. have to scare your adversary, and you have to be willing to
act. Why do you say the peace activists are war activists?
Because if you're the useful idiot of Iran and China begging, literally there are people on college campuses saying, doing a pro-North Korea mantra. If you think that creates peace, you are literally, why would Hamas ever give up? They have you marching for them. They're never going to give up. You are an infection inside of our society, and they are the reason they're not going to give up. If you want to stop these people, you have to be willing to be fierce.
They're out there supporting a terrorist organization whose very written charter calls for the death of all Jews, not just in Israel, worldwide. I mean, come on now. If you're going to support that, you're on the wrong side.
Okay. So the first one and the last one talking was Mark Milley. The one in the middle, if you're listening to the audio of this, was Alex Karp. The guy who was repeating the Orwellian phrase, war is peace. That's where these people are. And I'm sure that they both believe 2 + 2 = 5 as well. Yeah, war is peace. If you are arguing for peace, you're the war party, right? You're the one responsible for war. And when he says, you know, peace through strength, that type of thing, well, certainly that is the case, right? Should have a strong defense. But that's a very different thing, isn't it? Having a strong military and showing a strong presence, isn't that a very different thing than preemptively attacking the other countries? Which is what Alex Karp and Mark Milley do. That's why they're war criminals. Assassins, murderers, war criminals is what they are. You don't preemptively attack another country, okay? And so that's the real issue of what these guys have been doing. I'm going to say that's what's going on with the Israel thing. I think the problem with Israel is that they have not tried to minimize civilian casualties. And that's why you have Mark Milley, who says, well, we slaughtered a lot of innocent civilians as well in massive numbers. Well, you will answer for that. If not in this life, you'll answer to God for that. You really will. And so but he's fine with that. That's fine. You know, we killed not just in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but we destroyed a lot of other Japanese cities, he said. And as I said the other day, all these people give you a false dichotomy. They give you a false choice. It's part of the Hegelian dialectic. You're being had when people said, well, it's either this or it's that. No, it's never either this or that. There's always other ways that you could do this. And as I said, you know, the argument for dropping the nuclear bombs on the Japanese cities was, well, we got to save soldiers' lives. Because if we didn't drop the nuclear bombs on civilian cities, then we would have to fight the Japanese soldiers from island to island. And then we would lose a lot of American soldiers. And they were the ones who started the war. Even though FDR baited it, even though FDR did what he could to shut down the early warning of it and all the rest of the stuff, the Japanese still did attack first. And so that still remains. You know, yes, I understand. FDR was passive aggressive. He baited it. He facilitated it. But they did it. And that's another principle of just war. So it's justified to defend ourselves and to try to defend this. But another precept of a just war from a Christian perspective is that you try to minimize civilian casualties. So was the do we have two options? We either fight them with the Marines island to island, or we drop a nuclear bomb on a couple of civilian cities. They could have dropped the nuclear bombs on the islands, couldn't they? They could have taken out the combatants. Couldn't they have? Couldn't they have done that? Well, yes. See, that's why they don't ever talk about that. That would have been a justified response, quite frankly. Dropping it on civilian populations was not a justified response. It had become accepted by both sides during World War II that you would inflict massive civilian casualties on the other side. And that's why, you know, we look at World War II. It was not the last good war. We crossed the Rubicon on a lot of different things that affect a justified war in World War II. One of them being the targeting of civilian populations by both sides. And that doesn't make it right, the fact that both sides were doing it, does it? That's what I began by saying. You know, two wrongs don't make a right. Didn't your mommy tell you that? My mommy told me that. Did you hear what the new justification is from Milley for war? It must be done for political purposes. What? And it must be fast. What? That's it? It must be done for political purposes and fast? I mean, what war has ever happened that wasn't done for political purposes? Every single war throughout the history of mankind has been for political purposes. It's been for the greed and power of whoever's ruling, whether it's the king or whether it's the empire or whatever. It's always been about political purposes. Everything the Roman Empire did was political purposes, wasn't it? Every war, whether it was justified or not, is about political purposes. What is he talking about? It's absolute nonsense. Well, you know, for a war to be justified, it's got to be about political purposes, and it's got to be fast. He doesn't say that you have to try to avoid civilian casualties. All right, here's what a justified war is in a nutshell. You don't attack until you are attacked. Period. Period. No exceptions, no excuses, no, they did this or that. No, no. You don't attack unless you were attacked first. Secondly, you wear uniforms and you do other things to try to minimize civilian casualties. Secondly, you do try to make it end as soon as possible in order to minimize both civilian and military casualties, which has never been a goal, by the way. You know, we say we want this war to be for political purposes and we want it fast. Well, then that means that every war that we've had since World War II has been unjustified by that benchmark, because every war that we've had since World War II has been for a long-term training and testing of our, you know, training of the soldiers, testing of the weapons. They don't ever want to end these wars. To say that it has to be for political purposes and it has to be fast, this is a guy who was there at the Pentagon when they were telling us, yeah, we're going to be in Afghanistan forever, for another 20 years. They didn't leave Afghanistan. They were thrown out. They wanted it to last forever. And that's been the way that it's been in every single war that we've been involved in. So war is peace, right? You got to attack these people before they attack us. Well, by that logic, if that's the logic, well, then I guess Hamas was justified, weren't they? No, they weren't. And even if, and I believe that it did happen, even if they stood down, even if Benjamin Netanyahu did a Pearl Harbor like FDR did, even if that was the case, they would still be justified in coming after Hamas, but not a relentless starvation campaign, bombing campaign of a civilian population that can't fight back. That is not justified, not justified. But it is absolutely in character with all of our wars since World War II. Never going to end it. And it'll be for whatever political purpose we want. Oh, it's always about a political purpose. Absolutely amazing to see that. And by the way, as I pointed out last week, Alex Karp had said in a previous one of these things, he's kind of come out of the woodwork now. He used to be kind of behind. He would always go to the Bilderberg conference, but now because of these protesters on campus, he's speaking out quite a bit about it, saying he'd like to drone his opponents in Silicon Valley and assassinate them. He's come up all kinds of knee-jerk, hateful rhetoric about the people who are doing what they're doing for political purposes as well. He doesn't like free speech. He wants to punish these people. And again, if they take over campus and they start getting violent, if they take over buildings and they shut down schools, that's not free speech. And yet these people responded to say, well, you know, because they're doing these violent acts, we need to pass laws that are going to take down free speech. They've got another agenda. Milley said pro-Palestine protesters in America are, quote, out there supporting a terrorist organization, and insisted that they're on the wrong side. Well, again, where's your moral compass? Is it wrong to do preemptive attacks? If it is, then the United States is also a terrorist organization. By the way, you know, we look at preemptive attacks and we look at how the beginning of the 21st century, the thing that was used to kick off this, so we got to fight terror everywhere. You know, we got to have a war against terror. Well, terror is a tactic, so that opens up everything. We had the perpetual blank check for wars everywhere called the authorization for the use of military force. We had all that. What was that predicated on? It's predicated on a terrorist attack. But the question is, was that terrorist attack done by the people, our own people? Was it done by Tim Osman, also known as Osama bin Laden, or was it done by our own people? Here's what some of the 9/11 firefighters said about what happened with Building 7.
I saw Building 7 come down, and it was a controlled demolition. A classic controlled demolition.
That building had no reason to come down. There's no history.
Captain Richard Patterson.
In a fireproof, resulting in failure with the building, because the building is, in New York City, parlance, a class one, which is a single word, fireproof.
I demand to know, as should everyone, especially
New York Area Fire Commissioner,
Why
Christopher
testimony
Gioia.
From, made that day from over 150 police, firefighters, and first responders regarding explosions wasn't included in the commission report, nor investigated further.
It was a secondary explosion, probably a device either planted before or...
Fire Department of New York Chief of Safety.
Explode and throw an hour later.
Floor by floor, it started popping out. It
was like, other firefighters.
They had detonated.
Yeah, detonated.
They were planned to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. There was a heavy-duty explosion.
The old building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the
plan. You want to call your mother or something?
Right now.
5 minutes and the elevators exploded on us. Yeah, we said something's wrong. Yeah, I mean, the plane hit up on the 80th floor. I mean, in 5 minutes, all of a sudden, now the elevators are exploding on the first level in the lobby.
And it's the first thing I think of when I get
up. And you heard those explosions.
The last thing at night before I go to bed. I lost Tommy O'Hagan, Kenny Kumpel, and Bruce Van Hines that day.
343 firefighters, including three of my good friends, Thomas Hetzel, Bobby Evans, and Mike Kiefer, perished that day. And these were some of the best and the bravest people in the world. And they, along with the rest of those who were murdered and died horrible deaths, deserved justice.
Yeah. And we could name a lot of names of people who died from the other shoe to drop. Yeah, we had three buildings that dropped with two planes on 9/11. And then the other shoe to drop was 20 years later. And you had Donald Trump and his pal, 9/11 Rudy, who covered it up there in New York. These guys who pushed that thing through and bragged about pushing it through. As far as I look at this, I look at... this medical martial law, the lockdown, the rest of this stuff that happened in 2020, I look at it as a fourth building of 9/11 is the way I look at it. 2 months before 9/11, they did their simulation. 1 week after 9/11, they did the anthrax attack. And then they used that to push out the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act to get the states to give themselves the power to do what they did 20 years later. And Trump paid them to do it with the emergency declaration. And they practiced it at the federal government for 20 years. Every year they did one of these germ game things. Yeah. The way I look at this, I can just see Trump with his hand on the detonator pulling down the fourth building, the pandemic of 2020. So, you know, when you look at all this stuff and you look at these people talking about the friends that they've lost, we've all got names, don't we? People that we know that have died or are dying from this shot. Mark Milley repeats debunked Israeli propaganda about beheadings and sexual assault, says Max Blumenthal. Well, look, we can argue about that kind of stuff over and over again. But again, when it's wartime, how do you know what's going on with any of this stuff? We do know that our allies, the Saudis, do beheadings all the time. So why do we care about beheadings, right? Because you use their thing. Well, you know, hey, it's we do it or they do it. That excuses it, right? Well, by that logic, then I guess we don't care about any beheadings because we support people who do that on a regular basis. What about sexual assault? Well, we got Abu Ghraib and all these other things. I mean, we got torture. We tortured people. Use the lies from torture to go into the Iraq war. And Trump appointed her as head of the CIA. The liar, the one who covered it up. He worked with Rudy Giuliani, who lied and covered up 9/11. Don't talk to me about Trump or any of these people. Is a civilian bombing only wrong if it's a suicide bombing, right? What if we have a suicide drone that kills a bunch of civilians? Is that still wrong? Do we have a justified war if you try to minimize the number of people that have that die, both military and civilian, by shortening it up? It's not just making it fast, and they haven't tried to make it fast either. So When we look at there were other comments that were made by Alex Karp. Here is what he says about war.
I think is a often overlooked part of this battle is we kind of just think these things that are happening across college campuses especially are like a sideshow. No, they are the show. Because if we lose the intellectual debate, you will not be able to deploy any army in the West ever. And that's and of course our adversaries.
So if we lose the intellectual debate, we would never be able to deploy an army for no reason at all, right? As we constantly do, because we are an empire. Why do you think, we kind of all know that, right? Why do you think that George Lucas made the empire the bad guys? Hey, Hans, are we the bad guys here? We're the empire, right? Yeah, empires have war for their political purposes, as Mark Milley was saying. That doesn't justify it. It just makes it even more despicable. You shouldn't have a war for political purposes. You should have a war to protect innocent lives and to terminate the killing because somebody was an aggressor and attacked you. That's why you have a war, Milley. But we have people like Milley at the Pentagon. We have people like Alex Karp running geospatial intelligence. And this next clip will explain a little bit more about what geospatial intelligence is. But yeah, if we have a country that obeyed a just war scenario. Imagine that. They wouldn't be able to deploy their army for political purposes. Maybe that's the kind that we should have. If we lose the intellectual battle, we will not be able to deploy any army in the West ever. This is Alex Karp. These are the people, you know, Congress says, well, if we got anti-Semitism happening on the campus, we're going to shut down funds to it. I wish you would have shut it down when they had Marxist revolutionaries preaching a race war against white people. Why was that not good enough to shut down, right? This has been going on for a very long time, and you turned a blind eye to it until you get attacked like they attack white people. And then you care. It isn't about an intellectual battle. This is a spiritual, ethical, moral battle. This is a battle for the soul of our society and the soul of us each individually. It's not an intellectual battle. Alex Karp is wrong about that as well. But a guy who looks at monitors intelligence stuff, and he talks about what Palantir is doing with geospatial intelligence, and they're not just working for the American government. They're also working for the Israeli government.
An equivalent of the NSA. It's called Unit 8200. They're very...
James Manford.
Basically the same type of organization as the NSA. And Palantir is one of the companies that's given... it's an American company. It's based in Denver. And it... has given an enormous amount of assistance to Unit 8200 in terms of targeting. And that goes to the military. So the military targets civilians, lots of civilians. Most of the people killed were civilians. Women and children have been the people who have been targeted in the occupied territories in Gaza. So the NSA gives Unit 8200 an enormous amount of data from what it collects. When I interviewed Ed Snowden back in Moscow after he went to Moscow taking all the data from NSA, he said that was one of the worst offenses he saw when he was at NSA, that they were giving all this American data, Palestinians talking overseas to relatives or friends in Palestine and the occupied territory. And NSA was giving that data to Unit 8200. So you have Unit 8200 that's collecting a lot of data from the United States, from Americans. They're using it for targeting, and Palantir is one of the companies that's enormously sophisticated in terms of targeting. So what the problem is here is that you're getting information from the United States that the Israelis are using to target the civilians in Gaza. And there's been 33,000 killed now. It's just an enormous problem that the U.S. has got to stop supplying all this data and the...
And make no mistake about it. even though Palantir is saying, well, we're doing this abroad and we're doing it for military purposes and we're doing it for the American empire, right? They do it here at home as well. It's just like the FISA stuff. Oh, well, you know, that's for foreign intelligence surveillance. No, they use it against Americans. And Palantir is used against Americans and will increasingly be used to target Americans for their political and religious beliefs. And guess what? They're not interested in the Muslims. They told you that. They're interested in the Christians. And when you look at the fact that they're targeting civilians, these are targeted killings, assassinations of political figures, and targeted killing of civilians. This is why Milley was trying to justify, oh, we killed a lot of civilians and with Japanese civilians and all the rest of this stuff. So that makes it okay? No, it doesn't make it okay. You didn't have to do that, as I said. You could have taken out the Japanese fortifications with nuclear weapons.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.